Start up like this, or like this, and hit the start button to flip back and forth. You can make the important things big, keep the small stuff small, and arrange it all around you. You can be all work, all play, or even both at the same time. You can do it all simpler and easier on your Windows tablet, PC, or Surface. That's the new Windows. One experience for everything in your life.
Okay, I'm Joe Healy. This is another edition of Dev Radio. This is the special Florida cut that we get to do. And I'm pretty excited to be coming back to you with Glowpuff once again, but this time they're bringing their North Pole Invasion for Windows 8. And I've been playing some games on Windows 8, but this is one that I was just happy to see coming over here, because the Glowpuff games are fun, they're easy to sit down, they're easy to attack, obviously beautiful graphics. And that being said, David, why don't you tell us about yourself, name, websites, where they can get Glowpuff, the name of the game, all about you, and then we'll take a look at the game.
All right, I'm David. I'm Glowpuff. I'm a one-man operating here in Florida. My website, I'll put it on the big screen for you, glowpuff.com. And today I'm going to show you North Pole Invasion, although I have also recently published another free game, Holiday Rush, if you want to check that one out.
Maybe we can do another video on that one. Let's see how the video gods look on that one.
Okay. So here's my website, glowpuff.com. I started off as a Windows Phone developer about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, when I was there from the beginning. And just recently, at the pushing and prodding from friends and other people, I've gotten onto the Windows 8 bandwagon, and that's why I'm here today with my North Pole Invasion game, which is actually a port from one of my Windows Phone games. That's it.
I remember this was published last Christmas.
Yes, I've actually have a North Pole Invasion 1 and a 2, so I've actually have two of them for the phone.
Very cool. So you get a little reuse on your characters there and stuff like that?
Yeah, mostly the code, the graphics have been completely redone for higher resolutions, naturally.
That's an interesting one, because you think about it and you're sitting here and you're building for, you know, teeny tiny phone. Exactly. And you're looking at something like that, you know, 32 by 32 graphic or 64 by 64 graphics, pretty good. But even stretching up into the low end and going over to something like Dell Venue Pro 8, right?
Right.
Starts getting bigger immediately. That's why I kind of always caution people about this one size fits all approach we see on other platforms, where, hey, I'm going to take my, you know, Fruit Phone app and I'm going to make it scale up to be this big giant screen thing. And we get new experiences in pixelation. So you had to redo a lot of the art, but you're actually an artist, or did you hire the art out, or what?
No, I always do all of my art. I can show you some of the tools, too, if you like.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. See, that's where you got that magic edge. I can code, but, boy, when it comes to art, let's just say black and white, any colors past that, I have some problems. Why don't you show us the game first, because folks may be hopping in to take a look at the game and see how it plays, and, you know, talk about some of the high points in there that you like in the game, and then we'll talk about some of the other things.
Okay. Here it is, title screen, and got a big button on the right here if you want to download the phone version. It's very easy. You can actually scan it right into your phone right there.
Download it
right away.
Lots of cross-marketing. Did you see that app that Zach Williamson put out, the Windows Store Companion, so you can actually send people phone links to your Windows 8 app?
Oh, wow. No, I think I read about that in the mailing list. I haven't checked it out.
It's a real cool way to promote your Windows 8 stuff from Windows Phone, so that might help you, too. You can figure out what he did. He's going to release that library. Different topic. We'll get that in another episode, but that just clicked for me right there for you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. So come in here, and you got campaign modes. You got survival.
Yeah, the campaign is the main core of the game, I guess you could say. And as you progress through the campaign, you're slowly introduced to gradual difficulty scaling, as well as more different zombie types. There's a whole bunch of weapons that you can get.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get cooler weapons as you move along, because you start off, you're just flipping them in the air, and then it was like, whoops, hey, I got a gun. Wait a minute, this is cool.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you have a shotgun right in the first level, and then you can upgrade those weapons as you progress, because as you'll see after these helps, I've got a bunch of help screens that shows you not only with text, but visually exactly how to play the game. And that's something I learned from the phones. You can't always just get away with writing text on how to play your game. People like to see how it's played with pictures, so in my help screens I always try to use pictures now also.
Now, if you're watching over video, and this is coming over a little choppy, trust me, it's a very, very smooth game and very beautiful game. But what he's doing, I guess, right here, he's picking up the characters and throwing them in the air.
Yeah, it uses the Farseer physics engine, which is a 2D physics engine. And I have the parts that make up each zombie, so there's a little graphic for the head, one for each arm, the body, and each leg. And in the Farseer physics engine, you can tie those all together with a joint constraint.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is just the physics engine simulating all the joints rotating around each other. And at the end result, you have a body that rolls around and you can, So in North Pole Invasion, these little guys are trying to get you to your Santa's gift bag right here. And you have to stop them by smashing them into the ground like that. And you collect little gift boxes.
A fantastic holiday experience.
Fantastic. Fun for all ages. So we just got our first gun, so I'm going to activate the shotgun, and it will appear out of the clock tower and start, boom. There it goes. Bam. There it gone. And then here comes more. This is just level one, so everything's slow, and it gets you into the how to play the game, so you can take your time. As you progress through the campaign, these guys will start getting faster and faster. And in a couple of levels, you're introduced to the frenzy mode, and that's where this big bell tolls, the big bell teller back here.
Oh, wow, all right.
And they start moving really fast at that point.
Very cool.
I'm going to collect all these gifts. And I think that's it for this level, yeah. So it tells you your score tally at the end of each round. You want to continue. And here's the workshop. You go into the workshop, you can see all the weapons you can look forward to getting. And there's a little lock icon in each one because you don't have access to them yet. So I've got the shotgun here. And I don't have enough loot yet to upgrade it, but this is where I would do it.
Gotcha.
Now, that was the main core of the game, the physics. There's also, I call them bonus rounds because they give you, it's a totally different kind of gameplay. It's not physics. I'll show you in a moment here. But it allows you to get more loot to spend in the workshop. And these are the bonus rounds. And again, it's visual. It tells you how to play it. It tells a little picture of the little finger and how to drag it out. And this part of the game actually plays like my Pumpkin Smash games, except this time you're throwing snowballs.
Okay, little mortars.
Yep. Little mortars out of the wall. And similarly to the main campaign, you have different weapons that you don't have access to right up front, but you can see along the upper right, they're grayed out. You will, as you progress, you will unlock those weapons as well.
They're like creepier on the big screen.
Yeah. This, I love playing this one. It's good on the on a tablet as well as a desktop.
Or you go over to the Microsoft Store and you put on one of those big all-in-ones.
Oh, that would be good. So this, I won't show you. This goes on for each bonus round is 45 seconds, and that's just enough time to get some points for the main part of the game.
So you said you migrated this up from Windows Phone. What were the tools, main tool you was using on Windows Phone, and what'd you migrate it to? Because, I didn't think we had XNA support in Windows 8.
That's a good question. I used MonoGame, and I actually ported my game engine that runs all this stuff. I ported that to MonoGame back in June, but it kind of sat dormant. I didn't do anything with it until very recently, just about, a month and a half ago, I started on this one to port it. And Mono Game, it was pretty easy to port. The game itself was, mostly one-to-one. The code was not a problem. A lot of it was reused. Like I said, it was mainly just the graphics. The only problem I had, and I can, hopefully this is big enough to show you. The only problem I had with my game engine was with the audio. And it's very simple, just one line. I was using song.fromuri in order to load music. Well, that crashed. So I just load the music from the content manager. That was okay. It's that dumb and simple.
And how many hours did that take you to figure out?
about 30 minutes, I guess, because it didn't click at first. It wasn't long.
It's one of those bugs that could have taken a while, but luckily
you got through it, huh? I was like, oh no, the graphics work. My animation engine works. Why isn't the music working? All these, the stuff I thought would go wrong, it worked. The things the audio I thought would have no brainer, but that's where it broke. But as you saw, it's a simple fix.
So if there were one kind of tip for somebody coming from Windows Phone, XNA to Mono Game, what would you offer it up?
Do it. It's very easy. It just works, except for the very small example with the audio. It really does just work. It works.
And I'm sure that's in your developer blog right now, right?
I do have a blog. I keep it on a friend's website.
Yeah.
I haven't updated it in a while. I've been meaning to write all about this, actually, yes.
So I know, and kind of airing out our dirty laundry, I guess, there was a hiccup on publishing. You had some weird kind of issues. And that one, was basically, hey, it works one machine, it didn't work another. What was that situation, and what was the resolution? Because I'm sure, other people would like to know this stuff and how to avoid it and maybe get an idea on that one.
That was a bad week. I didn't sleep that week at all. The problem, first of all, I tested this game on, a 64-bit Windows Pro desktop, 32-bit right. Dell Venue Pro 8, the Surface tablet, Surface RT, and my notebook, which is a Haswell Core i5 with a touchscreen.
Yep.
And no problems. It worked great. Awesome. Published it. It failed within like 3 hours. I was like, oh, no. The first reaction was a knee-jerk reaction. And I looked at their little screenshot they sent me, and it said, "Oh, it's bombing when it clicked the start button." So I changed a few little things that really didn't need to be changed, but it was, like I say, it was a knee-jerk reaction. Resubmitted it immediately, and a few hours later, it bombed again. That's when I sat back and said, "Okay, what's going on?" And at first, they didn't send me a crash dump, which you actually helped me get, if you remember.
Yeah.
And they eventually, I resubmitted it a third time, and in the tester notes, I said, please send me a crash dump if it crashes. And they sent me a crash dump that time.
Neato. You get exactly what you asked for, if you know to ask for it.
Yeah. So I was actually able to finally find out it was crashing in combase.dll.
Sounds fun, huh?
That sounds like a Windows thing. Well, I'm not even calling that.
Yeah.
So, spun the wheels for a while, couldn't think of anything. I was calling in everybody I knew. Finally, I was thinking, okay, let's last resort. I hate to bother this guy. He's a top guy at Microsoft. I was lucky enough to meet him back in June when I was visiting Microsoft campus. So I emailed him, told him about my problem, and he immediately wrote back with a reply. He had actually sent my problem, a description of it, to a Windows Phone team engineer. And he gave me his response was, with the limited information I had given him, it was possibly due to too much work being done to this system at the same time in such a, putting the ARD assets, initializing all the physics. He said it was just too much work, and Combase was literally vomiting because of too much work being asked of it. So he suggested that I somehow stagger the level loading. So stagger the leveling. Okay, what does that mean? So what I did, and I don't like this solution, first of all, let me get it out there. I think this is bad programming, but it works. What can I say? And sometimes when you're making these games, you got to go with what works rather than, oh, what's the right thing, you know, right way of doing things.
I'm sure some of the software craftsman movement may hunt you down for this one, but...
Yes, I'm sure they will. I hope this is showing up.
Yeah, it is. Looks good.
Okay. The important thing right here is my whole initialization routine for the physics level. This is where I normally initialize stuff.
You're jamming it all async, and now you're delaying.
Yes. I turned it into an asynchronous operation, and I put little delays between the major the major workloads. Like, for example, the zombie layer. There is a lot of ragdoll physics being initialized.
But I've run this thing on three different hardware spectrums, and I don't notice the lag. So, you know, it may not be good coding, but the effect isn't there to the user, right? I've run it on the Dell Venue 8. I've run it on RTs. I've run it on a HP 810. You know, I've got a decent number of stuff.
Yeah, the level loading is a little longer naturally with these delays than it really should be. But it's not bad, and I noticed through some testing that initially when I did this, just staring at the loading screen was a little scary. I thought, you know, the normal user might say, oh, no, it crashed, and, you know, quit out by themselves when it's actually just still loading. So what I did was, if you notice, when the level loads, I have the loading graphic fades in and out. It lets you know it's doing something.
Yeah, instead of just sitting there, locked down. Nice. Exactly. Well, that's a good tip for everyone else out there. So if you see Combase weirdness, watch out for that. You still owe me that guy's name so I can send him a nice email for helping out my favorite Florida game developer. So
you want to know?
Don't tell Lewis and them I said that. Cool. All right. So did you change your tool set? What's the tool set you used on this, and was it really any different from your Windows 8 stuff?
Actually, no, it was no different. Luckily, I keep all of my original art in progress, you know, the original masterpieces. So part of this was not a problem because a lot of my 2D animation starts off as vectors. This is Anime Studio Pro. And this is a 2D vector drawing program. And as if you're familiar with vectors, you can draw it at in any, it doesn't matter. It doesn't care what resolution it is.
Yep.
So I can make this, I can render this out as big or small as I want because the original vector, it just doesn't matter because, you know, it's a vector. It's all math. And this program allows me to, I don't know, you can see it, but it is moving. He's animating. This is an animation program. It's not just for drawing. It's a complete animation tool. And I can show you, for example, let's see, where's his arm? I can grab his arm over here, and you can see how I move it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I can set keyframes over time, and it will animate through the keyframes, and that's how I do my anything that involves any kind of cell animation, it's with Anime Studio, and this is why I use it. You just put the bones in, you rig your system, and you can animate your character. You want to turn his head, I can turn his head, and that's the 2D part of the workflow for 2D animation. Now we move on to some of the bigger working sets, the level itself, like the village, or in the bonus round, you have the inside of Santa's workshop. That's a 3D model. It's not rendered in-game in 3D, but the art asset, here's the village. Look familiar?
Yep. It disappeared. Wait, bring it back. There it is. We got it now? All right, I got it now. I'm on a link connection for those out there over a home router, which is then wired into the hub. We won't even go there. Wow.
So this is XSI, Softimage XSI, and it's a It's a very high-end 3D modeling, animation, rendering system. And I modeled the whole village. This is all 3D. You can actually move the camera around. I have it set up for the aspect ratio that I need for the game. That's why it looks a little cut off and weird. But it's all a 3D model, and I just render that out and bring it into Photoshop and doctor it up a little bit to make it look less CG and more hand-drawn. That's why it kind of looks like it looks like I might have painted that. It's just some Photoshop magic to make it look more hand-drawn and painted. It's actually a 3D model I rendered out. That's the village, and I can show you real quick the workshop. This is the inside. That looked familiar. That's inside the workshop. And to animate the little gears and the world turning in the background, it's just a matter of when you render out from this program, you can specify just a certain region. So I didn't want to have I didn't need to animate the whole frame. There's only a piece of the frame that's animating those gears in the background.
Right.
So you can actually render out just the cropped area, and then I slap that into the game as a flipbook using my cell-based animation system. And it just plays, each frame it plays, and it looks like it's turning.
You could have it so if they really zoom in on the globe or the map, they see your face on Florida. Put little hidden pictures in it. All right, yeah. I
digress. So that's... That's how I do any kind of big scenes like the village and the inside the workshop for this example, and for other games I use it here and there when needed. There's one more place I used it in North Pole Invasion, and that's one of the weapons, the little toy plane that flies across the screen.
Yep.
That's actually a 3D model, and I rendered that out. I animated it and rendered each frame. And brought it into my cell animation system and played it and play it back in the game. And it looks like it's, waddling along as it flies across the screen. But that's actually a 3D model that's rendered out as a 2D pictures and played back as a 2D cell animation.
This is cool. You attack in pretty hard on this stuff. A lot of work going into this, and hopefully everyone appreciates it out there. But I know I enjoy it. I know I enjoy playing it, so works out pretty good for me. Creepy, though. Obviously, you have a twisted inner soul to come up with this much zombiness, huh?
I like zombie games. I do. And, I've got a number of them out there. I've got, Zombie Carnival, Zombie Circus, the North Pole one. This is my sprite sheet editor. I wrote this myself because I needed a tool to create sprite atlases. And when you do this, it's a lot better on the rendering system, especially on the phone, but even on the desktop. Instead of drawing every little sprite on its own draw call, you put all the sprites into this sprite sheet, and that one graphic only has to be loaded once, and it will eject, and my engine will just take out each piece that it needs and draw it during that one draw call, and it reduces draw calls significantly. You can draw hundreds of things if you can get them all on the same sprite sheet. And you can see here, I've got not only the cell animation of all the characters, but I've got all the little tunes, the parts, like there's the heads, the arms, all the little parts that make up those little guys you saw on the screen. They're all in one sprite sheet, so it's all in one draw call.
Very nice. Oh, cool. All right, couple new tools. What were the tools again that you showed today?
XSI. I bought that one, and Anime Studio, I bought that one. You got to pay for these. You got to invest a little bit on the tools. A lot of them are free. Like, if you want to do 3D, use Blender. It's free. It's extremely powerful. It exports to FBX format, which is what you need to import into Monogame or XNA. And a lot of people use it. It does have a learning curve, but all these tools have a learning curve. But Blender is the one a lot of people are using, especially if you're starting out with a zero budget and you just need something to get going, so Blender will do it. with Anime Studio. I have the Pro Edition, but you probably don't really need that. You can get all the animation in Bone System on the Anime Studio Debut, which is actually only $50. So this is a program that I highly recommend for doing animation, 2D animation. There's one thing I'd like to bring up, because we were talking about Monogame earlier.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you do not get with Monogame is the content compiler from XNA. And there were some workarounds for that. They're kind of obnoxious, I think. But you have to do it, because it doesn't have a content compiler yet. I think they are working on that. So what you would have to do before is you'd have to have a copy of Visual Studio 2010, which is the last edition of Visual Studio that supported XNA, and just make a dummy project, a dummy XNA project, and compile all your assets, whether it be sounds, music, sprites, 3D models, or whatever. Just use that and then copy over the compiled assets over to your project. If you have Windows Phone tools, you can do the same thing. Create a dummy XNA Windows Phone project. That way, you don't have to have Visual Studio 2010. You can use the Windows Phone XNA project. However, I have a much better solution now. This program is called XNA Content Compiler. I don't have the web address immediately for you, but you can probably Bing that and find it real quick, XNA Content Compiler. I made a few modifications to it because it didn't do exactly everything I needed it to do. Like I added drag and drop support because the system they have in place, you have to hit those little dot, dot, dot to open a dialog to load in all your assets. That's, it's crazy. So I put drag and drop support. I just drag in my assets and hit compile, done. I got my compiled assets. I also had to add 3D model support. It did not support the 3D FBX format to import to convert 3D models and compile them. That was just a few lines of code to add that. I think it's easy. Anybody could figure that out that's familiar with the XNA system content compiler. So XNA content compiler, it takes, you don't have to have 2010 installed. You don't have to have the phone tools installed. It's a standalone program that uses, I think the only thing you really have to have installed would be like the XNA Game Studio redistributable or something like that. As long as you have that installed, this will access it and be able to compile your content without having to have Visual Studio do it for you.
Coolness. All right. A lot of good tips there. All right. So another cool game from Glowpuff, from kind of near Orlando. You're from Oviedo?
Oviedo.
Oviedo. That's it. Oviedo. And we're actually all sitting here in 83-degree weather talking about snow invasion, so the irony, while the rest of the nation snowed in, too. So pretty cool product, and we got some great tips from David. Do him a favor, just go at least download the free one with the ads and give it a try, and God forbid you throw the whole dollar at him, you know, for the mainstream thing. But a very fun experience. If your kid can handle cartoon zombies, they'll like it pretty good too, I think. Cool, man. We good?
Yeah, there's the website and the North Pole Invasion, and you can grab it for the phone. Don't forget, it's also on the phone also.
All right.
Holiday Rush, the new one, Holiday Rush, which is completely free.
And, I love it. All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.